This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring a discussion on India's rise as a prime investment hub. The participants are Siddharth Singh, economic analyst, and Vaibhav Srivastav, anchor.
Rising interest of global investors, robust policies and efficient implementation, continuous development targets being achieved have made India into a preferred destination for investments. India is moving towards its target of becoming Viksit and Samridh, developed by 2047. It has had a tremendous run on all fronts in the past decade, but what's next for our great nation? To discuss on the topic, India's rise as a prime investment hub, and to get into the details of India's rise and its next frontiers, we have with us Shri Siddharth Singh, economic analyst. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
India currently stands as the world's fifth largest economy on an ambitious path to reach the $5 trillion US dollar GDP by 2027 and nearly $30 trillion US GDP by 2047, becoming a developed nation, Viksit Bharat. What are the factors which puts India in a favorable position when it comes to investments?
As you rightly said, India is going to be a 5 trillion economy perhaps next 1 or 2 years. So I think we would be the third largest economy of the world. And if you look at especially post 2014, when Mr. Narendra Modi took over as the Prime Minister of India, when he came in, the focus of the government shifted fast decision making, and the focus was that reforms have to be ushered in, because there was a period where, you know, everything was in a standstill. So we went in a frenzy in terms of reforms, then ease of doing business, minimizing regulations or keeping regulations which were wherever required or whatever required, plus a big focus was also on the infrastructure and also in easing our foreign direct investment rules. And that is what led to picking up Indian economy, picking up. We started again getting back to 7-8% growth rate. And that is what is prompting to say why India is now a very prime destination for investments. And this is the right time to invest in India. If you look at in terms of infrastructure, post-COVID, especially now, currently in the current financial year, I think the government alone is putting in about 11 trillion rupees in terms of capital expenditure. We are focusing in a big way on ease of doing business. We are also looking at deregulation. There is a committee of secretaries which has been now appointed and is looking not only sectors, we are also looking at states, how we can try to bring out parity between states in terms of our regulations. So that is one. Plus, a big focus was on the Made in India and Make in India, a big focus on manufacturing, national manufacturing mission. So if you look at all these things, I think this is what has resulted in India being a prime investment destination.
As all these factors at the center of which the government's policies and efficient organization and implementation of these policies is there, has made India into a destination for investments in these uncertain times where the investors see that India will still survive the global upheavals and yet come out strong when it comes to earning interests on your investments.
That is true. And why that is true is because 80% of our GDP is driven or based on domestic demand. We are not only dependent on external demand, or our growth is not externally driven. In a way, it won't be wrong to say that why you still see as India being one of the fastest growing economy in the world, despite so many disruptions around the world. You see Ukraine-Russia disruption, you see Israel-Hamas disruption. We've been seeing since President Trump came in US, he has announced high tariffs, though he has paused them now. So these kind of disruptions have been there, but a very small impact in terms of our own economic growth. It is expected that we might have an impact of 0.5 percentage point maximum in terms of our growth for the current financial year, which is pegged at about 6.5%. And the kind of facilitation government is doing in terms of, you know, attracting investment, whether in terms of foreign direct investment, most of the sectors we are 100% now FDI is allowed, plus faster approval processes for us, single window clearances are there. So those kind of things, this is one side of the story. The other side of the story which we have done is also that we have also kind of eased our taxation policies, whether it is on the income tax side, direct tax, which is also called direct tax side. Then we also brought in the goods and services tax, which is one of the biggest reforms that India has taken, tax reforms in last 10 years, which has been taken and has now been kind of smoothly implemented also. Besides this, also for faster resolution of assets, bad assets, I think we got in an insolvency and bankruptcy code. So which has also kind of fast paced the resolution of stressed assets and freeing money, which was locked in those kind of disputed assets. So these kind of big measures have been taken. Plus, I think also along with this, there have been certain sectors we have identified where I would give you one example is in terms of Make in India. One of the biggest achievements has been in terms of our mobile phones. Today, India is almost second largest producer of mobile phones. And you'll be surprised to know now, almost, I think all the mobiles would be sold in US would be made in India. So that is the kind of capacity we have added. Plus, we are also in a big way moving in terms of manufacturing of chips. So those kind of initiatives taken by the government, I think has resulted or which is making India a prime investment destination.
Absolutely. So when we talk about the vision of the Honorable Prime Minister, where he mentions Antyodaya, he talks about reaching the last mile, he talks about empowering each and every citizen. Can we understand this in a way that when we empower the citizens, we empower our economy and we attract more investments through it?
Absolutely. Unless you have investment, you have manufacturing in India. Currently, we have huge service exports, but our manufacturing exports are also catching up. Why are they catching up? Because we have announced a PLI schemes. We are incentivizing people who are manufacturing in India, whether it is pharmaceutical, whether it is mobile phones, it is electronic goods, toys. So even in this budget, if you will look, we have announced new measures for certain sectors, for medium and small scale enterprises, for women entrepreneurs, for people coming in nuclear technology. So those kind of new areas also India is opening up in those kind of areas. Plus industrial parks, we have established almost more than 100 industrial plug and play where you can just come and start your production if you want. So those are ready-made facilities and making it easy in terms of compliances also. Like I'll give you an example of income tax. We have moved to a regime currently which is faceless, where SSE doesn't have to go to any office in physical form. All your compliances are done electronically and you don't have to go and visit any office or meet anything which they have to ask, any questions or anything which compliances are all done in electronic form. So we are trying to reduce regulations, bring down as far as possible the intervention of the government with the entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. And sir, talking about exports, what about the rising number of exports in agricultural products, which has completely revolutionized this sector, once considered to be a dead end for investors as well as the farmers? Now we are empowering the farmers, and not just that, we are also trying to raise their incomes. Then come the exports in space technology through ISRO, as well as medical tourism. How would you talk about all these three sectors, which have also contributed a lot in terms of making India as a prime investment hub?
In terms of space technology, currently we are the fifth in terms of space technology. So I think, yes, as you're saying, we are now you're seeing various countries lining up to our own space stations for their own launch of their satellites. And as you talked about agriculture, obviously, because in last 10 years, we have focused on remunerative prices for agriculture products and also creating logistics, better quality seeds and storage facilities. So all that has resulted in this huge push in terms of agriculture exports as well as space technology. Obviously, we are one of the leaders in the world.
Apart from the economy of India, there are two similar simultaneous economies which are moving forward. One is the digital economy and one is the creative economy. Now also through the initiative of Waves by the government of India, has been now enlarged in a manner that it will not just create more jobs, but also enable those who are working in these two sectors, the digitization sector as well as the creative economy sector, to get more revenue, to get more investments, and to expand their scope, not just in or within India, but throughout the globe.
In terms of digital technology, as you said, almost about a percentage point increase in digital space is leading to almost a push of almost 0.79% to our GDP. And as we were talking, you see the UPI transactions which are increasing in leaps and bounds in the country, and almost every transaction which we are doing, I think we are moving in a very fast way from cash to UPI or to digital. And you, as our one of the reports today mentioned also, that the use of debit cards is really coming down in terms of our daily transactions. So I think that is one thing which has happened and is happening very fast. And India is also emerging as one of the pioneers in terms of digital technology. We are now not only India, we are selling this to the world outside. Our Prime Minister, I think recently we had an agreement with France where it again UPI is being used. You go to Dubai, UPI is being used. The world never expected that anything like this can happen, but we have made it possible. We are leaders in information technology. Obviously, now the Prime Minister's focus has also shifted to making India a creative hub. As you said, a few days back, he was in Bombay, big conference on waves. So I think all that focus from the Prime Minister, from the top, and giving targets and making, as he always says, minimum government and maximum governance. So I think the focus is to reduce intervention as far as possible, put things on fast track and try and help as much as possible.
How much has 100% foreign direct investment, FDI, under the automatic route helped sectors like automobile, tourism infrastructure, hospitals and medical devices, wholesale trading, single brand retail trading and greenfield pharmaceutical ventures?
Vaibhav, I think the sectors that you mentioned, I think we are almost leaders in terms of automobiles, pharma, medical tourism. If you look at South Asia, I think we are the leaders. So basically why? Because we have opened our gates for foreign direct investment, and there is almost most of the things except defense and one or two more sectors where we have approval route. Otherwise, and even in defense, I think we have put certain things on automatic route where you need not come and take approval. So anybody from overseas can come and directly invest into India. Plus, one more thing which we have tried and which is also helping is that we are also trying to create a healthy competition among states. State index of ease of doing business. About 10 years back, we were somewhere 150 plus in terms of our own ranking in terms of ease of doing business. And today we are somewhere far, far below 100. So all that is an effort. As you said, we are kind of opened up the Indian economy, opening the foreign direct investment, making rules easy, making the compliances easy. So I think that is what is the reason is that these are the sectors where we are now almost leaders.
And accepting the phrase of constant is the only change when India is pioneering in technologies which are of the future, like chip making, artificial intelligence, machine learning, big data, EVs and solar power and hybrid power. How do you think that affects India's position as a global investment hub?
See, as you rightly said, that's why I think chip making is something which the world knows is there will be no future, whatever competition will be based on that. And that is why I think the government of the day has taken a very strict, very conscious note of that. And that is why we are now building three facilities, semiconductor facilities. I think one is coming up in Assam, one in Gujarat, one more. So because we know what is the importance of chip going forward, our mobile phones, our debit cards, credit cards, anything, our cars, automobiles, huge use of chips. And realizing that, I think that is why we are investing heavily in semiconductors. And almost, I think about a year back, this decision was taken and the work is on in creating three big semiconductor facilities, as well as a big investment in terms of artificial intelligence. And we are ranked somewhere 40 in terms of our capacity in currently in artificial, but we want to be almost somewhere fourth or fifth by 2047.
Absolutely. We hope that India achieves all its targets and achieves them well in advance. Thank you so much for coming to the studios of Akashvani and discussing greatly and giving your valuable insights on this topic, Mr. Siddharth Singh.
Thank you, Weber.
You were listening to a discussion on India's rise as a prime investment hub. The participants were Siddharth Singh, economic analyst, and Vaibhav Srivastav, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.